Monster Man, episode 272, Yeth Hound. Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we're going to be beginning our journey through the Y chapter of Monster Manual 2, the 1983 supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 1st Edition. This is quite a short chapter, and that's the reason that this is quite a short episode. There are only three monsters in the Y chapter. I mean, chapter is not even the right word, but there are only three monsters in the Y section. And I decided to break them up so that I did one in this episode and two in the next one. It's just a bit simpler for me. I realize it does result in a shorter episode, but I'll make it up to you later on. So our monster for today is the Yeth Hound. Now, I don't know if I mentioned the Yeth Hound back when I did the patron special episode on dogs, black dogs, dogs of ill omen, devil dogs, all that stuff, but that is what the Yeth Hound is. The Yeth Hound is another example of the black dog motif in British folklore. So as you probably know, one of the most common kind of monster types in British folklore is the black dog or black hound. And this is a mysterious creature that appears. Sometimes it actually kills people. Sometimes its presence warns of an upcoming tragedy, and sometimes it's actually helpful. It helps people who get lost. And they're often associated with areas of moorland or fen, so basically that, you know, wide open areas where it's possible that you might go a long way without seeing another person. And of course, the most famous literary example of this is The Hound of the Baskervilles, where, I mean, spoilers for The Hound of the Baskervilles, but it's actually a hoax, but a hoax that plays on the relatively common folktale about this type of creature. And so the Yeth Hound is the name for this type of creature, I think primarily in Devon, but, you know, maybe in other areas as well. But we've seen this before with the Grimm, I think, and the Barghest. Here in East Anglia, it appears in the form of a black shuck. And they're all kind of pretty much the same thing. They're big, scary black dogs. The Yeth Hound in Dungeons & Dragons is sometimes used as a hunting animal by other kinds of monsters, which I think is a neat image. That is how the Barghest appears in the old Wraith role-playing game from White Wolf, where they were kind of like, you know, if you imagine that sort of the bad guys would hunt down dead souls who were not obeying the laws of their cruel afterlife, and the Barghests would be these, like, hunting hounds that would come with them. Or at least, I think that's right. So they play kind of a hellhound role there. They have a baying which can terrify people, which, again, kind of fits in with that Hound of the Baskervilles motif. Their heads are said to be almost human-looking, which is kind of weird. I feel like this is the type of art direction that Jim Holloway sometimes struggles with. So these kinds of, like, vague intimations, you know, their heads are almost human-looking. He doesn't quite know what to deal with, and so the actual illustration winds up with its head looking kind of, like, mushy and undefined. Maybe he's tried to give it more, like, verticality, like a human's face would have, as opposed to a dog's. It kind of winds up looking like a cat more than anything else, which feels appropriate because, of course, one of the other British folkloric or cryptozoological creatures is the ABC, the alien big cat, most famously in the form of the Beast of Bodmin. And blurry photos of what appear to be large black cats, but which are, you know, dogs, are a feature of British kind of, you know, lighter side of the news and Fortean publications. The D&D Yeth Hound is perfectly fine. You know, if you want to have a bad character and give them some kind of hunting hounds and, you know, the Kushi or the Hellhounds or the whatever, and not exactly what you're looking for, then, hey, here's the Yeth Hound. It's a great monster for, you know, being a hound. I like the terrifying baying. That's very kind of got a gothic sensibility to it. One thing that is nice about the folkloric Yeth Hound is that it has something that occurs a lot in folklore, but doesn't occur a lot in games, which is an explanation that is not obviously connected to the nature of the monster itself. So the Yeth Hound is said to be the spirit of an unbaptized child, that you know, if someone dies without being baptized, their soul returns as a Yeth Hound. And in a game, I feel like it would be like if someone were cruel to dogs, their soul would return as a Yeth Hound. Or if someone, you know, had their lover murdered by feeding them to dogs, that soul would return as a Yethound. There would have to be something doggy about the person in order for them to return as a doggy monster, but it's not necessarily always true in folklore. Or at least if the connections exist, they may not exist in ways that are obvious to us reading from a modern perspective. I like having these little stories about the origins of monsters. We talked before about the idea of people, you know, having a particular sin and that turning them into a particular type of monster. In fact, I play in a D&D game that is run by the Patreon backer who requested the Devil Dogs episode. And in that game, one of the things that I really like is that a lot of monsters have origins that are rooted in the folklore of the particular culture that they're found in. So, for instance, in a recent episode, we came across evidence of a party of travelers who'd been ambushed and killed. And one of the things that we were concerned about was that there was, you know, there was evidence of a lot more bodies than were actually there. So we found, you know, the packs and camping gear of a bunch of people, but only one or two corpses. And we thought, uh-oh, this is bad. What that means is that people have died and they haven't been properly buried. And that means that they're going to return as monsters, but not as undead. In that campaign, that this is how you get giants. Giants are what happens when an unburied corpse is allowed to lie around for too long, or the proper rites aren't carried out. It's particularly relevant because the druid in our party is kind of a funerary specialist character. Well, not just, but that is part of her responsibilities. And I like that because, you know, in the real world, funerary rites are a very important part of what religious specialists do, but didn't come up very much in games because, you know, normally it is seen that that is where the game ends, so to speak. And there's nothing particularly giantish about an unburied corpse, but it is the kind of thing that a culture would have anxieties about because it is kind of like a gap in the system. You know, if you're out here all alone in the wilderness and someone dies, you may not be able to perform the appropriate funerary rites. In the same way that, like, bad things happen to the spirits of unbaptized children is kind of a gap in the system of that religious outlook. It makes sense according to the kind of technical rules, but it doesn't make sense according to the kind of intuitive moral understanding of the people who are practicing it. And so, you know, those anxieties are good sites for monsters. Anyway, so I just like it when creatures have a little explanation. And it doesn't have to really have anything to do with the monster, but it just helps them feel a little more lived in. And that's something that I really like. And I don't think it's, it doesn't take much space to have the little explanation. It's just kind of a neat little thing. So I like that about the folkloric Yethound. And I think that explanations like that could go neatly with a lot of D&D monsters, especially since they have more of that flavor of realism when they're not didactic just-so stories, which is how most monster origins are presented. Maybe because that happens in a lot of Greek mythology, but not exclusively. Okay, that's about all the monsters that we have time for today. In our next episode, we will be carrying on with our journey through the Y section of Monster Manual 2. And we're going to talk about Yashlal and the Yuan Ti. That's next time on Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.